Hi, this is Ryan. I'm here today with Brandon Grattini, who is the founder of Relationship Solutions. And he also has a new book that is published through the Internet that can only be found on the Internet from his website. And that book is called Cheating Spouses Revealed, which can be found at www.cheatingspousesrevealed.com. So I'm excited to have Brandon on the phone with me. And we've got some great things to talk about. Brandon, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you very much for being here. I've really been looking forward to this call because this topic is very intriguing to me, and for personal reasons as well as just curiosity and kind of, you know, self-discovery. But
it's not just you, Ryan. It's a hot topic for everybody right now. I mean, we're hearing everybody from presidents to senators who are having these kinds of problems. So it's just getting a lot of publicity right now.
Right. No, that's actually a great point. It doesn't matter where you turn or, you know, what the demographics are. It happens across the board to everyone. And I think it's very interesting. We got some great information. I know you have some great information to, you know, to share with people that can be very, very helpful. So I'm excited to get into this. But, you know, before we really get into it, again, the book is called Cheating Spouses Revealed. And if you could you just give us kind of a brief overview of the book?
Absolutely. Well, the book is, you know, inspired by, you know, the cheating spouses and the way that it's been becoming more and more popular. And, you know, over the years, Ryan, I've developed sort of a passion for it. I noticed a lot of people that were close to me, friends of mine, or people that I've worked with in different workplaces who were kind of having these problems. And, you know, a lot of people, they just don't know why that they're happening. They don't know how they can happen. And I just started to develop an interest. And I just, you know, I built on it and built on it, and I've done tons of research, I've read tons of books, I've interviewed private investigators, I've interviewed therapists, I've done about everything you can do aside from being a therapist myself to kind of, you know, learn as much as I can about this, and I just love sharing it with people to kind of help them in their own relationships. So the book itself, Ryan, oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say it's interesting because earlier, you know, before the call, we were talking, you know, sharing kind of a personal story with you that we'll get into later on in this call again, but you had some just amazing insight that I wish I would have had, you know, back at the time of my life when this issue was happening to me. It would have been very valuable information to have some of the answers and some of the tools that you discuss in your book. And, you know, just besides, you know, how this kind of came about, what is going to be, you know, what is kind of the overview of the book?
Well, the book covers a few different points. First thing, the book is new and current, and it, you know, it talks about some of the modern things that people are doing to try to cover up and hide the fact that they're having an affair. Mm-hmm. Second thing I try to do is I try to show you tricks and tools that you could use to uncover the deception. Third, I try to help you decide that if you, you know, whether or not you should stay or leave your marriage or relationship. And fourth, my book tries to, you know, teach you some foundations to build a successful relationship and to give you tips for future success in any relationship that you do have.
You know, Brandon, that's actually the last couple points you made there are, that's very interesting because, you know, there's different books out there that will kind of talk about how you discover or catch someone that you suspect cheating or being unfaithful in a relationship, but a lot of times those products do not talk about how to repair the damage whether or not you should try to repair the damage. So I find that, you know, very fascinating, and that really separates your book from a lot of other things out there.
Well, that's what I really try to do. I mean, we live in a negative society, and people are always quick to point out the problems, but it's tough. The hard part, Ryan, is finding solutions to those problems, and I really try to focus on that because, really, ultimately, your marriage or whatever relationship you're in, it's about, you know, happiness, and to just focus on the negatives. You know, if it happens once and you don't really know why it happened, there's a good chance that it can happen again to you. So I try to give you some foundation to, you know, to build on and make sure that if it is happening, it doesn't happen to you again. And if it isn't happening, you're having a suspicion for a reason, so there's some sort of problem that you need to correct before it does happen.
Right. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Well, let's get into what I know a lot of people really, really want to know about. And can we go into some detail about a few more things? Like, you know, can you give us some reasons why, you know, why people are cheating out there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the book focuses a lot on, you know, reasons why people cheat. I think it's important that before we talk about why people cheat, we need to understand the differences between men and women, because men and women cheat for different reasons. Until we're able to really understand, you know, the different needs that men and women have, I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's going to change the way, you know, the reasons that men and women cheat. So in his book, Dr. Willard Harley wrote a book, His Needs, Her Needs, where he tried to identify the top five needs of men and women. I think it's a great book, one of the ones that I've read, and, you know, if you put down your top five basic needs and you compare them to a woman, you're going to find two completely different lists. What he found was that man's basic needs are first, sexual fulfillment, second, recreational companionship, third, an attractive spouse, four, domestic support, and five, admiration.
Okay.
Now, when he asked women that same question, he found five completely different answers. Women ranked affection number one,
wow,
conversation number two. The third thing was honesty and openness. Fourth was financial support. And the fifth thing was family commitment.
Wow.
Now, if you notice, yeah, isn't it crazy? I mean, women don't even rank sex in their top five basic needs.
I think that is amazing from a man's point of view, obviously, but I just think it's so amazing how different those lists are. That's just absolutely incredible to me.
It's one thing on both lists.
It's a wonder how men and women, you know, get along and live together. I mean, those are very, very, very different lists. That's interesting.
It's the whole men are from Mars, women are from Venus theory, and it has a lot to do with the way people build their relationships and the problems that are created by not understanding each other's needs.
Right.
All right, well, I'm sure a lot of people do understand that men and women are different. But once we do understand that, we can look to see, you know, the differences in why men and women do cheat.
Yeah, so why do men cheat?
Well, men cheat, it's kind of funny, you know, I always say it half jokingly, but the first three reasons men cheat are pretty simple, Ryan. They cheat for new sex, more sex, and different sex.
It's that simple.
It's not always that simple. I mean, like I said, it's half jokingly when I say that, but sex is ultimately the driving factor for men.
You know, and Brandon, I do want to just, you know, put a little disclaimer out there while we're talking that, you know, we're talking about such a serious topic that is affects so many people, but I just want to put a disclaimer out there that, you know, we are trying to keep this light and, you know, entertaining and informational and educational all at the same time. So, you know, when I'm kind of laughing or we're joking about things, it's not to, you know, we're not trying to insult anybody or take the seriousness out of this, but we just want to kind of lighten up the topic if it's possible. So I just want to put that little
right.
I want to put that little disclaimer out here, but to continue, the three reasons that men cheat are for new sex, more sex, and different sex, and continue from there.
All right. Well, again, you know, Ryan, it's not all that simple. If it was, I mean, what kind of book would I be able to write? I mean, what kind of stuff would be out there? But the underlying reason that men cheat is to escape intimacy in a relationship.
Mm.
For a lot of men, intimacy relinquishes power and control, and they try not to connect themselves too much with their partner. A man feels typically, and, you know, again, another disclaimer, Ryan, we're just speaking in generalities here. I mean, this is not to say that every person, you know, does, you know, think this way, but, you know, through the studies, this is obviously the majority. So, you know, men typically, you know, when they don't commit to their partner, they still feel a level of control. And, you know, they need to have that in order for themselves to feel better in their relationship. It's almost like they're protecting themselves from being hurt by not connecting on that emotional level with their partner.
Is that what they mean when they say that a man puts a wall up?
That is pretty much what they mean when they say a man puts a wall up, yes.
Okay.
They just try to block out a lot of things, and ultimately it's kind of to protect themselves.
Right.
Okay. Now, when a man has an affair, he's able to maintain the power and control in both of his relationships. What a man does then is he distances himself from his wife by cheating on her, and then he can't get emotionally involved with his lover because he doesn't have the time to give to them. So really, you know, it's a win-win as far as the brain is concerned for a man because he's got no emotional connection with either one, and he's kind of having his cake and eating it too.
Gotcha. Well, that makes a ton of sense. And, you know, based on that, it sounds like what you're kind of saying is that women don't cheat for sex. Is that accurate?
Well, I'm not saying that they don't cheat for sex, but it's typically not their driving factor like it is for a man.
Okay.
I mean, if we go back to the needs of the men versus women, you look at those women's needs, Ryan, and again, they were affection, conversation, honesty and openness, financial support, and family commitment. Again, sex doesn't rank there. So what that tells us is that when a woman, you know, starts to have an affair, it starts out to be an emotional affair that will lead to sex. They just want somebody who makes them feel important, secure, and appreciated. Someone who cares about them, cares about their values, what they have to say, and somebody who has, like, strong family values that they can kind of latch onto and fill those five basic needs that they have.
So they're looking for that connection that their spouse is maybe refusing because the husband's looking to kind of make himself feel like he's still in control, so he's refusing that connection, so the wife leaves to go find that connection elsewhere.
Absolutely. And women also, they tend to, you know, they let anger and disappointment with their spouse lead to their affairs, where men can kind of be more impulsive about it. When women become lonely, or if their husband isn't meeting their needs, women tend to fantasize about what is better. And that's why you tend to see women become more attracted to a guy who has a better job than their husband, you know, because they feel it'll provide, like, a financial security, or they're, you know, attracted to the soccer dad or the t-ball dad who just seems to be so involved with his kids. Mm. They're relating that to the ability to meet those needs that they feel that their husband isn't doing. You know, maybe their husband's sitting at home on the couch as opposed to being involved and playing catch with his kid in the yard, and then they see the neighbor playing ball with his son in the yard, and they're going, why can't my husband be more like that?
Right.
Well, so they kind of build that, and it leads to different kinds of affairs for a woman.
Well, that again, that makes a lot of sense the way that you put it. It's so interesting how you just break it down. You know, like you said, these are generally speaking, but in studies, that's the information you get. It generalizes things, but it's just fascinating how simple, you know, this breaks down to, and you can really see why these things happen, you know, based on what you're saying. Now, you know, Brandon, are these the only reasons, what you've described, are these the only reasons that men and women are cheating?
Oh, God, no. Men and women, you know, I mean, we cheat for different reasons. You can learn a lot more about those in the book, Cheating Spouses Revealed. But I, you know, just wanted to highlight some key differences between men and women and not generalize everybody as a whole. Again, because, you know, we're not all the same. We are built differently and, you know, we have different attractions and things like that. So, I mean, a lot of these books out there, Ryan, they kind of just focus and generalize everything to say you have to look for this one specific thing. But if you're a man, you have to look for something different than if you are a woman and vice versa. And that's how you're going to really start to notice these signs and really find out and understand why you're having the feelings you're having and why it's progressing to the level it's progressing.
Right. Well, what I really also found very interesting in your book was really talking about the major, you know, expanding on the major differences between men and women, besides just those, you know, five kind of core needs or core values, you really discuss and talk about how different men and women are. And if you could, you know, tell us a little bit more about the differences, the way that a man functions and works versus the way a woman, you know, functions and works, Could you give us just a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I can tell you, you know, some key reasons, you know, that these things happen. Men are more, I'll give you a little bit of profile. How about that, Ryan, the difference between a man and a woman? I think maybe that's where you're going with that.
Yeah.
All right. Men will typically have an affair on impulse or a whim, such as one-night stands, whereas women, kind of like we talked about, you know, a little earlier, they tend to plan their affair. You know, they kind of think about and fantasize who they want to be with, who could meet the needs that they're having. And then, you know, Ryan, women, they one day, you know, kind of, they after they put their plan together, they can act on those. Whereas a man, you know, it can be a drunken stupor in a bar. He can just meet some girl. I mean, it's purely sex for them, so there's no more ties for that.
Right.
I can tell you that men don't have to know the person that they sleep with. Again, like a one-night stand, whereas women tend to know their lover for at least a couple weeks and sometimes months before they actually act on anything.
Okay.
And again, Ryan, this goes all back to those basic needs between the man and the woman. Since the man is just filling a sexual desire, that's all he cares about is the sex. He doesn't care where the woman comes from, who she is. As long as he's attracted to her, he needs to fill that need, so he doesn't need to know her for any length of time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the woman and the emotional side, they, you know, they want to get to know their lover before they kind of commit or act on anything. They need to build these fantasies and desire. They need to get to know that person before they actually sleep with them. And with that said, women tend to cheat with someone that they know, and most of the time that's a neighbor or a coworker. And that person that they cheat with tends to also be married.
Well, that opens up a whole new conversation. You know, why did they cheat with married men? Why does that happen?
Right. You know, for as unsafe as it is, it's just plain safer for them. It provides some security to them. If they're cheating with a married man, there's a good chance that since that person's married, they're not out there running around and having one-night stands with multiple partners on consecutive nights. So that takes a little bit of risk out. It lowers their chances of STDs and, you know, bringing something home to their own husband that, you know, where that husband's going to be able to find out that something happened. And, you know, another thing, Ryan, is that if they're cheating with a married man, that man also has a secret to keep. You know, a lot of times if they're cheating with some single guy, you know, that guy wants to brag, especially, you know, a lot of times when women cheat with somebody younger than them, they want to brag about it and boast to their friends. If it's a married man who's already committed, he doesn't want the word to get out either, so it kind of keeps the secret intact.
Right. Well, yeah, that's kind of protects everybody with that explanation. Everyone's protecting themselves in different ways there.
Absolutely.
You know, and let's just change gears a little bit here. And I know that people have a lot of interest in finding out what the signs are to look for. You know, I know there's probably a million different signs to look for, but, you know, can you share a few of those signs? What to look for when you feel like your spouse or your significant other is being unfaithful or, you know, cheating on you in some fashion? What are the things that you want to look for?
All right, Ryan. Well, this is probably where I want to go into the more general terms and kind of, you know, I don't want to get gender specific in here, but these are just some clues that you can really look for. One of the things you're going to want to look for, you're going to notice, is they're going to have a renewed interest in their appearance. You know, maybe at some point, you know, they've kind of relaxed themselves into this marriage. They've been with you for a couple years. They, you know, almost, I want to say, let themselves go, but they just, you know, they don't maintain themselves like they did when you were dating. And now all of a sudden they've just 180'd and they can't stop obsessing about how they look, how their hair is, new fashion, new clothes, and all these things. If you're seeing a sudden change in interest in their appearance, that's one of the signs you're going to want to look for.
Okay.
Something else you could look at is, you know, maybe they're not looking at the opposite sex the way they used to. Maybe, you know, your spouse, when somebody attractive would walk by, you know, they would do that double take and kind of go, wow, that, you know, that's an attractive person. Now all of a sudden, maybe they're not doing that. Maybe their head's staying straight. You know, this could mean that they're already interested in somebody else and they really don't want to let on that they are, and they kind of don't want to get you suspicious and make you look like they are looking at other people. So it's something they'd want to tuck away. It's a behavior you're going to want to look for.
So if so maybe if they have a guilty conscience, they're aware of it and trying to really overcompensate for by not looking at an attractive person walking by?
Absolutely. They're going to try to deflect your attention. I mean, if they used to be, like I said, flirtatious and all of a sudden that stops, that's something you're going to want to look for, because the reason that they're probably, you know, stopping that flirtatious attitude is because they've got something to hide. They're involved with somebody else and they don't want to draw any additional attention to it. And, it's the wrong psychology, but they're trying to, you know, deflect your attention, you know, by saying, hey, you're not interested in, you know, the opposite sex anymore, when really what it should be raising an eyebrow to you and saying, hey, why has, you know, my husband or wife changed this behavior?
That's it's such an excellent point, because I would have to imagine that most people in this situation would never recognize that this was taking place if they didn't know to look for it. Because it would just go right over their head, and they wouldn't notice it.
And that's why a cheater can get away with it and doing it the way that they do. But again, you know, when you get the book and you read the book and you get into all these different attitudes and, you know, philosophies and ideas and behaviors, I mean, you're going to start to, you know, focus on these behaviors and notice these little changes, and it's going to really raise your eyebrows and say, whoa, what the heck is going on here?
Right. Well, I know that's what people are, who have the feeling that something's going on, that's what they're looking for. So what are some other signs that they can look for to kind of get a better idea of whether or not their spouse is cheating?
Well, let's go right to what they're looking for, since you just said that a little bit. When your spouse is trying to anticipate your schedule, when they, you know, start asking where you're going to be, you know, all your whereabouts, who you're going to be with, and, you know, a big one is when they start asking you, how long are you going to be gone? That's going to be them to try to find that gap. How much time do I have to either send that text message, make that phone call, send that email, use my little webcam, or do I have time to go visit the person that I'm trying to sneak around with? Okay. And when they start, you know, so when they start, you know, keeping you on a schedule and wondering where your schedule is and measuring your time, that's when you're going to want to, you know, again, raise an eyebrow and say something weird is going on here.
Right. That makes sense.
Another thing that you can look for is if you want to look at your spouse's car. I mean, a lot of times, Ryan, when you're involved in a relationship, you have things of your spouse in that car, whether it's your car or her car or whoever's it is. If you notice that all of a sudden there's no belongings in that car anymore, they're trying to hide you from their lover. And this is particularly important when there's children involved, because you're going to have a lot of children things in your car, a car seat, toys, and things like this. If that car all of a sudden gets cleaned out and there's nothing in there, there's a good chance that they're trying to hide the whole family side from the lover, because that just kind of creates a whole uncomfortable balloon in that vehicle when they're with that lover.
That is such a great point. I mean, these are things that I would never think of in a million years, but they make so much sense. Let me just ask you a little more detail about that. I want to expand on that a little bit. What if you're not married, but you have a serious relationship and you don't live together, but because it's a serious relationship, your lover has personal belongings at your home? Wouldn't the same thing apply to that if you start noticing that your personal belongings in the bathroom are hidden down below, you know, or put away out of the way that no one can find them? Is that kind of the same thing?
That's very similar, Ryan, and that's exactly the kinds of things that you're going to want to look for if you're having these kinds of suspicions. If they've kind of, you know, I know a lot of times if it's a serious relationship, you know, the spouse might, you know, take over the bathroom, so to speak, and if all of a sudden those products are, you know, out of sight, if you go there and those products are all of a sudden out of sight, something's going on. I mean, if your person you're involved with doesn't necessarily clean all that stuff on a regular basis, but then all of a sudden that starts to all be picked up, you know, maybe you got some lounge clothes laying around the house and then all of a sudden everything's picked up and put away, you're going to kind of want to question and say, hey, where did this stuff go and how come you kind of got, you know, clean all of a sudden?
Right. Okay, that answers the question. That makes perfect sense again. What are some other things?
You're going to want to look for new hobbies and interests. maybe, you've asked your spouse or person you're involved with, hey, let's go do X. And that person's, no, that's stupid. I don't want to do that. And now all of a sudden they've got this interest, and almost a passion for it, and they're really involved, and, they want to talk about it. And you need to ask yourself, why did this passion come up all of a sudden? Why did this interest come up all of a sudden? A lot of times it's even new knowledge. Maybe your spouse is reading a different book, a kind of book they wouldn't normally care about. But what they're doing is they're reading these books or learning these activities and enjoying new things because they need something to talk about with their lover. And their lover has kind of put this kind of energy into them to make them want to do these new things.
I'm definitely guilty of that, not in the way we're talking about, but when I was a single man, when I would start dating a new woman, I would definitely take an interest in the new hobbies or activities or books. Every time, if I dated someone else, that would just happen naturally because you're recording them and wanting to have something to do with them and talk about and take up their interest because you were very interested in them. So, that's just, I think, a natural thing. So it doesn't work
like
marriage.
You've got to talk about.
Right.
Well, a lot of things, unfortunately, do change when you're married. Along those same lines, Ryan, you can have music interests are going to change. I mean, maybe, somebody who only listened to classic rock is now listening to hip-hop or something more modern and new age. I mean, that's another thing along those lines that you're going to want to look for.
So you're looking for those changes in their interest.
The little subtleties, yeah, absolutely.
And what...
Brian, here's a good one I want to talk about. This something that can sometimes be overlooked, and it really shouldn't be, but if your spouse tends to take showers late at night and they didn't used to do that, you've kind of got a question. If they've got a fresh feeling at night when they're getting ready to crawl into bed, mm-hmm. there's a reason that they're taking that shower that they didn't used to take at night. And that's probably because they've spent the day with their lover and they're trying to wash what they feel as filth off of them and try to get rid of any signs that they were with somebody else before they actually crawl up really close to you.
Okay.
So a lot of times, these late-night showers is just something that should really trigger something in your head that says something's not right.
And it's not because they all of a sudden start going to the gym at the end of the night because they're trying to lose 10 pounds.
Well, that actually could be a possibility. That's another sign, Ryan. If you're going to the gym and you didn't used to go to the gym and you're obsessed about losing this weight, it's probably because you're trying to make yourself a little bit more appealing and attractive to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, sometimes that renewed interest in the gym can also be a sign, and then you need to take that shower also.
No,
Ryan, I got one story of somebody who, this guy's telling me that, he was having these problems and he didn't know what the heck was going on, and he didn't really think much of it, and his wife just kept going to the gym. She was just obsessively going to the gym, and it was every night at the same time, no matter what was happening. Even if they had kids, even if their kids were sick, she would still go to the gym for these 3 hours, and he couldn't understand why it was such a long time. Well, what he found out when it was all said and done was that she was going to the gym not just to work out, but she was actually involved with somebody at the gym. So she had this romantic interest, and that's why she had to be there.
No kidding.
So it was just kind of interesting that you brought the gym comment up when there was
Right.
You want to look for those kind of pattern behaviors.
Now, I do have to just play a little devil's advocate here just for a minute because there's plenty of people out there that, finally get that motivation to go out and try to lose those 10 pounds, and they start hitting the gym. I'm 36 years old, and I've been in and out of the gym my whole life, but usually it's like a month at a time, and I take 6 months off. And then, 2 weeks, and I take 3 months off. So I'm back in that phase right now where I'm out there trying to run every day because I just want to. I'm trying to lose weight. So, just to play devil's advocate. I'm not trying to lose weight because I'm interested in someone else. I'm trying to get healthy and take care of myself and look good for my wife. So that's a very good possibility in that situation too.
Yeah, I don't deny that one bit, and again, I'm speaking in generalities, but let me ask you this question, Ryan. If your wife wanted to join you at the gym, would you welcome her?
Absolutely, yes.
All right.
No question. And we,
this gentleman was having a problem where his wife wouldn't welcome and she had to go alone, and that's where, you know, the suspicions began to grow and mount.
That would be suspicious, definitely.
All right.
Well, I know you still have several more tips, you know, for people. Do you want to continue on, you know, on different ways, different signs?
Let's run through a couple more.
Okay.
You know, here's an easy one, too, that, you know, it's so overlooked, is increased in car mileage. Ryan, maybe you work 5 miles away from where you live. You know, just if you're really starting to get suspicious, just take a peek at that odometer once in a while. And, you know, if it's a 5-mile, you know, round trip or even a 10-mile round trip and there's 50 or 60 miles that were put on the car, you kind of want to ask yourself a little bit, how come this, you know, 10 times the amount of miles went on the car today? I mean, something, you know, if they're, that could be a sign that they're traveling a distance to meet somebody. I mean, and again,
right,
we could play devil's advocate all you want and say, well, they had to go run this errand, yada, 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 that's fine. But you're looking for consistency and patterns in that activity.
Right, right. And you know, if just one of these things was going on, that's one thing, but you could probably, if something's really happening, you could probably see 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 of these things if you really paid attention.
Oh, definitely. I mean, again, yeah, you don't want to act, you know, I mean, if you, you know, you're having this gut feeling, you don't want to all of a sudden see that, hey, today, you know, 30 miles were put on the car and they shouldn't have been, and then all of a sudden just assume. I mean, you're going to kind of want to take a little bit of time and find out if more than 1 or 2 or 3 of these are going on.
Right.
In fact, sometimes 2 of these things, 3 of these things can go on, and it's not really a for sure thing, but if you start to notice more and more and the pattern develop and take place, that's when, you know, you're going to start to put together something and see that something is wrong.
Right.
We can look at another thing here, Ryan, and you're going to see attitudes and mood swings in the cheating spouse. Typically, they're going to have a lot more positive attitude on life, and that's just because they're all of a sudden happier. It's, you know, when you fall in love for that first time all over again syndrome, and you're just, you know, everything you touch turns to gold and everything's going great. And then all of a sudden when they see you or you do something, they're just going to completely flip out and have this mood swing. And if you're kind of noticing that your partner is just high on life and then they just have this total drop in mood swing, and, you know, you're going to see that and you're going to see that something's not right.
Okay.
If you have a once jealous spouse who just stopped caring, you know, maybe, Ryan, you started going out and, you know, you go out for a couple drinks and, you know, girlfriends, ex-girlfriends, you know, women that you know come by and say hi, and your wife is jealous going, you know, why, and then all of a sudden she just doesn't care anymore, that's going to be a sign that she's probably found somebody else to occupy her time, and that's why she doesn't care about who you're with anymore.
Okay.
If your partner stops sharing secrets and intimate details with you, you might have a problem. There's a good chance that, you know, maybe you used to do a little pillow talk at night about, you know, all this stuff that's going on and little, you know, goals that she had for herself or he had for himself. And if all that stops, Ryan, there could be a problem. And I can tell you this, trust me on it, if they're not sharing those secrets with you and they used to, they're sharing those secrets with somebody else, and it's probably their lover.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and if it's not their lover yet and they're sharing it with somebody like at the office over lunch, it's probably going to be pretty soon if it's not already.
Absolutely right. It is probably going to be. You know, go back to the office, Ryan. Maybe your spouse hated going to work and now all of a sudden they just can't wait to get there. You know, if your spouse is suddenly excited to go to the job that they hate, there's a good chance they've developed a relationship with somebody within that workplace. Ryan, maybe your spouse starts to start fights, and, you know, you think nothing of it when it's happening, and again, this is a psychological move that they make. What the spouse could be doing is they start a fight with you, and they kind of escalate the fight, you know, it's for no reason, it's a small petty thing, and they escalate it and let it build and build and build until you guys get so mad at each other that they just storm out, I have to leave. What they're doing is they've actually created a scenario to get you mad at them, to give them an excuse to leave. And, you know, there's a good chance what they're going to do is go see that other person. You know, maybe you kind of interfered with their plan, so now they're frustrated and they have to start this fight to get out away from you and to deflect your attention from the fact that they're actually going to see their lover.
Okay.
One of my favorite ones, Ryan, is Sexual Desire. And I say it's one of my favorite ones, and it's because a lot of times people think that, you know, if your spouse is cheating on you, that they're just going to stop having sex with you. And, you know, in a lot of cases, that is the furthest thing from the truth. What this does is, you know, having an affair can actually create more frequent sex because of the secrecy and risk element that it adds can be such a turn on to the cheater. You know, they're hiding and, you know, playing this game, and there's this newness going on, and they get so turned on that they just want sex all the time, and that could be, you know, even with you. And another reason that they're going to have sex with you still is because they believe, again, it's a psychological move, that if they're having sex with you, you're not going to suspect that they're out there getting it from somewhere else.
Right. You know, this whole conversation, it's just so, it can be so sad, so devastating to families and to couples, and it's such the dark side of human nature that, you know, that all humans have within them. And that topic that you just brought up is one of the darker components of this whole conversation, that I would think that if someone is having infidelity, that they would lose interest in their own spouse. But when you say that it's part of that risk element and part of that secrecy that adds a turn-on for them, then, again, you make so much sense with these things, but that really is a, you know, dark side of human nature or human behavior.
That excitement just brings a certain level, you know, of arousal into play, and they've just got to act on it all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like an addiction. And, you know, the last thing, Ryan, I just, you know, I don't want to, you know, share the entire book with everybody here, but the last thing I want to share is something that I talked to you about prior to this phone call, and that was that, Ryan, 85% of women and 50% of men who think their spouse is cheating are right. So sometimes you just have to trust your gut. Sometimes you have that gut feeling, and once you have that gut feeling and you start to put together, you know, a few different things that are on this list and some other things that are in the book as well, then that's when you're going to want to, you know, try to, you know, not just notice that these suspicions are happening, but you're going to want to try to find out and, you know, catch your spouse cheating.
That's an amazing statistic. Those numbers are staggering, and it's interesting, Brandon, because when I was a young man, I dated a woman. I was in my 20s, and we had gone to college together, and when we graduated, she moved away. And I was still back at home, but I would go visit her. She was living down south in another state, and we were on the phone every day. And all of a sudden, I started having a funny feeling about things, and we had dated for 5 years at this point. Wow. And, you know, I thought it was going to be my wife one day. I thought we had a really strong relationship, even being apart. I thought we were going to be back together again.
Right.
And, you know, I had a very uneasy feeling in my stomach, and it was probably from things that were said. You know, looking back on it, at the time, I didn't know that it was things being said or behaviors, but it was just a feeling that was just festering inside. And it, you know, it turned out that she was having a relationship with a new young man that she worked with. And I never approached her. I never told her I had these feelings until I finally caught her in the act. And it just shocked me that those feelings were right. It absolutely blindsided me and caught me so off guard, because I convinced myself that there's no way this is happening.
Yeah, and a lot of people tend to do that. You know, I'm sorry that did happen to you. I mean, I hate when this happens to anybody. You know, it's just terrible. But again, you trusted your gut. And, you know, again, this was a woman, obviously, and you noticed, as we talked about earlier, it was somebody from the workplace that she was involved with.
Mm-hmm.
You said that you distanced yourself. You were from different states, correct?
Yeah, she had moved down south, now still up north, so, you know, we were seeing each other about once a month, once every 3 weeks. She would fly in, I'd fly there. We're having, you know, our relationship was mainly over the phone, but we had been, you know, very, very close for about 4 years, and that last year she moved away, so, you know, things just kind of, we started, I guess, getting a little more distant.
Those needs just weren't being met.
Right.
And she, unfortunately, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, she unfortunately just took it to the level that, you know, you hope it doesn't go.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, people quit on it, Ryan, and you got to work through it. And again, that's where the book leads, is not just identifying these problems, but it helps you work through them. And once you do identify them, how to build so your relationship can continue to grow and the cheating never really does happen.
Well, I think that's one of my favorite parts of your book, because you just gave, I don't even know, 20, 25 ways or signs, you know, to really identify whether or not someone is cheating or having an affair. And then that stuff is all fantastic. It's all great, because if you have that feeling, your statistics say that you're probably right based on your statistics, but it's good to find out, because you need to find out if it's happening. But the best part about your book that I really, really enjoyed was, here are the things you need to be doing so it doesn't happen, you know, to prevent it, or if it does happen, here are the things that you need to come together to do to get through it and build a relationship and go on and have a very happy, fulfilling life. And like we said at the beginning, that's such a different spin, because it's a lot of other products out there, a lot of other books out there, they don't do that.
It's the hard part, Ryan. That's why. They just kind of quit on the hard part. It's easy to establish when something's wrong, but, you know, the hard part is kind of putting together solutions to those problems, and that's really what I like to focus on.
Well, I think that's absolutely correct. It's, you know, you got to be a problem solver. Well, you have given so much great information. I mean, great information. And if you don't mind, since I have you on the phone this evening, I'd like to kind of continue and keep going if you still have some time.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you.
Okay, great. The next question I have for you, we're going to change gears again, but let me ask you this. What are the kinds of things that you can do or that you can use to actually catch your spouse?
Oh, that's a good one, Ryan, and, you know, I like talking about these, too. God, I get so excited when you ask me these questions. I mean, time's just flying here. Well, Ryan, let me talk about the cheapest way to try to catch your spouse cheating, and that is just to pay attention. And pay attention, when I say that, Ryan, I'm again talking about these basic needs. Make sure that you're meeting those needs. Identify what those needs are, and, you know, just try to focus on those. And hopefully if you do that, you'll be able to either catch your spouse cheating by realizing that, hey, this is not, you know, I'm not meeting these needs. And then you look back at that list that we talked about and say, and these things are going on. That's going to be the cheapest way to catch your spouse. And, you know, while I'm mentioning that, you know, the best way to find out what those needs that your spouse is having really are is to ask your spouse. And, again, that's communication and understanding who your spouse is. And, you know, that's going to go back to one of those core values that you need to sustain a relationship with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing that you're going to want to do is pay attention to the suspicious activities like we just mentioned. If more than a couple of these things are going on, you know, you might have a real problem. Again, you know, you and I talked about a minute ago about how, hey, if one or two of these things is going on, does that really mean that my spouse is cheating? No, it doesn't. But it does start to pattern itself into something that could lead to that. And if, you know, 5 or 10 of these things are going on, which, you know, a lot of times, you know, that there's even more than that, then that's when that behavior's developed. So, you know, pay attention to this list, and that's another way that, you know, cheap little tool that you can use to catch your cheating spouse.
Okay.
And third, Ryan, what I really, really like, you know, I kind of get excited about it just from the, you know, it's like a, you know, an at-home detective style, is there's some really good gadgets out there to kind of help detect cheating, and most are pretty affordable. Some of them can get pricey, but most of them are pretty affordable. You can get things like personal lie detectors. You can get GPS systems. You can get, you know, tiny little voice recorders, mini cameras that are, you know, tucked into objects like, you know, DVD alarm clocks and things like that. Call managers that will monitor your incoming and outgoing calls. And then with those, you can put those into a reverse phone number directory, and it'll tell you who that number is registered to, where they live. And then, you know, with nowadays with the internet so huge, there's key logging software and email search systems that can kind of help you detect different passwords that your spouse has had on their computer, different websites that they've visited. They'll capture screenshots of those places that they're at on the internet, chat room discussions, all different things in these key loggers and search systems.
So then, really becoming a personal detective at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
These are heavy duty tools.
And they can be. But again, Ryan, most of them are pretty cheap. I mean, you can get a cheap global positioning system that's going to tell you, and these are pretty cool too. You can kind of hide it in the car, usually like in the glove compartment or underneath the seat, so your spouse isn't going to find it. And what these will do is they'll track the movement of the car and let you know the locations of it, how long they were at a certain location, and all of this stuff gets tracked and recorded right into your computer screen that your spouse has no idea it's even on your computer, and it can tell you their location and give their location. So if you notice that their car is at somebody's house and you know who that person is and you are kind of suspicious of that person, and you give your spouse a call and you say, "Hey honey, where are you?" and they tell you they're at a completely different location, you probably caught your spouse cheating.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's some pretty cool gadgets. Ryan, they even got a semen detection kit out there that can help identify if your spouse has had sex by testing their underwear. I mean, it's like this at-home kit. It's almost like a home pregnancy kit for, semen detection, where you kind of rub some swabs into their undergarments, and it can detect if, they've had some penile or vaginal leakage that's happened, post-intercourse leakage that has happened. And so those are pretty darn accurate.
These are heavy, heavy-duty research tools and investigative tools that for the home do-it-yourself detective. Well, if people wanted, to get these types of things, is there, where can they find these types of resources?
Well, I've got a link on my website, and you can reach that at www.cheatingspousesrevealed.com/spygear.html. And if you click on that link, it'll take you to a website that's going to have all of these resources and then some. And again, they're pretty cool gadgets. They work very well, and most of them you can find for $50 to $100, so they're pretty cheap.
Okay, so this will have a lot of these resources, the lie detectors, the GPS systems, the voice recorders, mini cameras, all these things are some of them?
It's going to have all of those and then some. I mean, I could sit here and get into a list, but, again, I want you to read the book.
These are great tools.
I don't want to take it all up on this interview that we're doing here. I mean, there's some good material, but if you want to go to that website, and again, that's www.cheatingspousesrevealed.com/spygear.html, and you can find all the
capital S P Y capital G E A R dot html.
Correct.
Okay. Great.
And then just one more resource, if people really can afford it, and again, I don't always recommend it, but you could get the private investigator. One thing I will tell you with the private investigator is if they find something on the first time, you don't want to know about it right away. Just kind of make sure they give you, my advice is to make sure they give you a second, time that they caught your spouse. And because you kind of want to see how often it's happening. You don't really want to know all the details the first time. But, so just make sure they catch your spouse two times. That's one question you're going to want to ask your private investigator if you do decide to go that route.
So and again, you can't deny and say that was my only time.
Right. You're going to want to see it, a second time. You don't want to know the first time because that second time, Ryan, it might not happen for a month. So you don't want to be sitting there waiting for that second time for the entire month going, "Oh, my God, what the hell is going on?" So you just don't let them tell you anything until the second time. That's just my advice because you don't want to go through all that pain and turmoil and misery of the wondering and waiting on that second time when you know what's happening at that point. So
Right. Don't
let, just ask them not to give you the evidence until the second time.
Okay. Well, I think that's good advice. This whole thing, this whole topic can be painful for anyone that's involved, but Brandon, if there's an affair, if someone in a relationship is having an affair and you're married, whether your wife or your husband has been doing the cheating, you know, does the marriage really, does it have to end? Is it something that, you know, once the person is caught that you have to put your foot down and say, I don't trust you, I can't do this anymore? Does that have to happen?
That doesn't have to happen, Ryan, not at all. In fact, many couples go on to have happier marriages after the affair than they had before the affair.
That seems impossible.
You know, it does all the time, especially when, you know, when you can sit and have a conversation with somebody and ask what would they do if they found out their spouse was cheating, and the immediate reaction 99.9% of the time is that, oh, I would leave him, or oh, I would leave her. And, you know, in reality, a lot of these marriages go on to be happier than when they were pre-affair. And there's a good reason for that, Ryan, and that's because you started to identify some of the underlying problems that were going on in your relationship. Sometimes, as sad as it is, this big shock is actually an eye-opener for the problems in your marriage. And they tend to address the problems, and they tend to work out solutions to make these problems better, and that's how some of these couples can go on to live a happier marriage. What I can suggest is that if you have been tarnished by an affair, there's a couple steps you're going to need to take. The first thing, Ryan, is all interaction with the other person has to stop. So if you're the cheater, you have to cut all ties 100% with that person. You cannot talk to them. You cannot text message them. You cannot email them. In order for your marriage to survive, you have to stop 100% interaction with your lover. Second thing you need to do is you need to apologize profusely to your spouse for hurting them the way you did. You need to understand the ways that you hurt them, and you need to beg and beg and beg for forgiveness. You owe that to your spouse if you're the cheater. Third thing you're going to need to do, you're going to need to work on communication, and you need to develop what I call a transparency where you know everything about each other. So everything's just crystal clear. You talk to each other every day. You find out what's going on. It's casual, friendly, get-to-know-you conversation. You kind of want to, you know, treat your spouse like you did when you were courting them, when you were dating, pre-marriage. Take those kinds of interest in your spouse, and you can develop the skills necessary to build a happy, healthy relationship. Fourth, Ryan, you're going to want to, you know, take steps to rebuild trust, and this is going to be very, very difficult because you've broken the trust in probably the worst way that you could by having an affair. So this is going to take some time, but again, you're just going to have to understand and learn to communicate and know that this is going to be a difficult task. And in the book, Ryan, there is a chapter on trust, so you can kind of develop some skills and learn what you need to do to be a more trusting partner.
Okay.
Another thing that suggestion I like to make is to not share details of the affair, even if your partner asks. And the reason is they don't need to know all of the, you know, gory in the sense that, you know, you're sharing your intimacies with somebody else, and that can just be painful and devastating to hear over and over and over again, and that can actually be a hindrance to the two of you moving past the affair into building the relationship. All your spouse really needs to know is who you were having the affair with, for how long you were having the affair, why you had the affair, and who else knows that you had the affair. They don't need to know anything else. And if you're the victim of this, you just need to accept these terms. Trust me, this is all you want to know.
Yeah, that seems to be very, very difficult. It seems like it would be the best way to go about it, but it seems like it would be very hard because I think human nature would be, you know, they would want to know those details and they'd be asked for those details. And in reality, I wouldn't want those details. I might think I want to know them, but once I heard them, that would be how
it would kill you.
It would kill you, yeah.
It would kill you. You would never be able to move past it. And that's why it's fair for you to know the who, the how long, the why, and who else knows. But that's really, those are all the details you're really going to need to know.
Right.
Ryan, just one more thing if you're the victim. You have to learn how to forgive. You cannot punish your spouse forever. We all know that this deed was not right. We all know that it's wrong. It's betraying you. It's violating you. But you cannot punish your spouse forever. If you do, or you feel the need to, you either haven't done enough together to reestablish the trust, or you've given it a fair shake and it's probably time to end the relationship at that point. So if you kind of feel yourself, you know, not being able to let go, and I don't even want to say let go, but if you constantly punish your spouse, then, you know, and it's been 2, 3, 4, 5 years, 10 years, it, you know, you're probably not going to get past this.
Right. Well, I think that is all really fantastic information for people on both sides of this. And I really, really appreciate you getting on the phone with me tonight. I was really looking forward to this because after looking at your book, I really was excited to talk to you and you know, get some more information and have these things, have you share these things so that other people can learn it and it can help them both establish, you know, whether or not someone's showing infidelity, signs of infidelity, and how to really put your finger on it and catch them, and then what to do afterwards. So I think you hit all those points tonight, and I've had you on the phone way, way longer than I actually asked you to initially get on the phone with me for. So I really appreciate it, Brandon, for being here tonight. You know, if there's anything else that you'd like to say, please, you know, please say it now.
Ryan, thanks for having me on this call. I'm happy to do these interviews. Gosh, I get so passionate and wrapped up in this stuff that time just flies. It is just so much fun to do this stuff and to share this information with people. And, you know, thanks again for having me. Thanks to everybody who's actually going to listen to this interview. And if you want to learn more, you know, get the book at, you know, www.cheatingspousesrevealed.com. If you want to learn more, you can sign up for my newsletter there as well. And you can also go to www.relationship-solutions.net. And again, more resources for you to learn about different, you know, relationship problems that you're having. And again, remember that at Relationship Solutions, we don't just focus on the problems, we focus on the solutions. So that's all I have, Ryan. Thanks again so much. It's been a pleasure doing this interview with you.
I had a great time. So again, if anyone wants, you know, more information on Brandon's book, you can get it at www.cheatingspousesrevealed.com. You can also sign up for his free newsletter, and that would be at www.relationship-solutions.net. So, Brandon, thanks a lot for being on the call with me tonight, and I look forward to talking to you again in the future.
All right, great. Thanks. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.